Welcome to the Q&A with Jackie and JJ. And this is the April 16th Q&A. So if you've sent in questions, we have them all. They're sitting right in front of us. And, of course, if you're joining us live and you've never been on one of our Q&As before, we will have an operator here. It's Natasha, and she will tell you exactly how to get into the queue for your question. So usually we dive right in, we answer the first question. Actually, JJ, I want to answer the second question. I love this. Did you on the Q&A document?
Well, as opposed to the first question?
Well, I love the second one. I want to know what treasure you're using.
Oh, my gosh. I know I read that. I'm like, does someone really want to know all this? Really?
So anyway,
okay.
So we'll dive in.
What is it?
And also, if you are shy, don't want to ask a question, it's completely fine. And if you do, great. A lot of people have had some great success asking their questions right away. So we will get started. I guess we'll do the first question. That's fine, but I'm excited about the second one. First, my issue is that I often become overwhelmed with a toxic, nauseous feeling accompanied by headaches, fatigue, and sometimes it seems if I eat, it will get better, like I'm hungry or deficient in nutrients or eating will push something out of my system. I've had this issue for years. I'm 42, and I've tried lots of elimination and diet nutrient changes. Mostly, though, I haven't been consistent enough. I'm on day 6 of the cleanse. I've lost 1.5 pounds, which is good for me, but I feel and look much smaller than that. In general, I feel much better, but this is still happening to me. What should I test for? What supplementing would you suggest? This is from Elizabeth.
This screams that we have hypoglycemia. And I don't know if you're over fat, but when I hear that you feel sick and then you eat and you feel better, it's not that you're deficient in something. You probably are hypoglycemic. What I would tell you is the best thing you could do would be go to your doctor and ask him for a 3-hour. This sucks, by the way, so I'm not going to tell you this is going to be fun, but this is the only way to really know, is to do a 3-hour glucose and insulin challenge. Now, it needs to include insulin because you also want to see if you're insulin resistant. So what they do is you go in, and the first thing they do, you go in and you haven't had anything to eat or drink for 12 hours, and then they draw your blood, again, for glucose and insulin, and then they give you a big dose, I think it's 50 grams of sugar water, and then they sit with you. You sit there for 3 hours, and every hour they draw your blood again to get your glucose and insulin to see what happens. And if you are hypoglycemic, you will start to see that in the second or third hour. So, and it's really important to run the insulins too. They won't typically do that because you want to see if you've got some abnormal insulin metabolism going on, because sometimes if you're insulin resistant, that can be creating the problem. So that's the very first thing that you really need to do, is go ask your doctor for that. You've had this for years. It sure is quacking like that in the hypoglycemia duck. Mm-hmm. I, of course, cannot diagnose. And this, I certainly, even if I could diagnose, couldn't diagnose over the phone, but I can't diagnose at all. But I can tell you what I would do were you my sister, mother, brother, friend, and that would be go to the doctor and have that checked. And then also, things that can help with blood sugar balance and hypoglycemia. Number one, optimizing vitamin D levels. So, again, we've talked about this before, running a 25-hydroxy vitamin D. So that would be what you would have your doctor do, 25-hydroxy vitamin D. And you want to optimize your vitamin D levels to 60 to 80 NGs per ml. And honestly, Jackie, I have to take 10,000 IUs of vitamin D a day to stay there. So it's
wow.
For everybody, it depends, one, on your genetics, two, on your skin coloring, and three, on your sun exposure. So all those things matter. You know, of course, sun exposure without sunscreen. Mm-hmm. That's one. Number two is making sure that you're eating from the plate, clean, lean protein, healthy fats, loads of non-starchy vegetables, a little bit of a high-fiber, low-glycemic, slow, low-carb to keep your insulin and glucagon in balance so that you keep your blood sugar in balance with loads of fiber. Fiber is your best friend, 50 grams a day spread throughout the day, lots of water in between meals. If you're eating a very low-fiber diet right now, which we know that most of the population gets 9 to 14 grams of doesn't even get the 9 to 14. Well, I think the average is 9 to 14 grams of fiber a day, which is – or 5 to 14. It's, like, pathetic because we should be getting – the ADA says 35. I disagree. I think 50 is what we should be getting. So with that, if you are the average person, do not go from average to ideal overnight and then call me Matt because he will be mad if you do that. Don't do that, okay? So titrate it up and make sure you're doing lots of water in between your meals to help because otherwise you will get constipated and that sucks, as we all know. We hate that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. No one says, oh, boy, I'm constipated. Yippee. All right.
Yeah.
Now, then the other thing, fish oil is good because it helps resensitize your insulin receptors. So super EPA or even better would be the I'm trying to remember the name of it. Oh, my gosh. I feel like I'm just kind of a little tweaky. It's so weird. I've been on the road, and all of a sudden I get
home. Yeah, I know.
You've
been traveling
you know,
so much.
Omega
I know.
Plus. Yeah, Omega Plus, EPA, DHA, and GLA, because GLA is actually really good for insulin resistance. That would be another thing you'd want to be taking. I do believe we have a blood sugar support package. Chromium, of course, Ultra Chrome 500, one with each meal. That would be another thing that, of course, we know balances blood sugar. By the way, cinnamon does too, so adding cinnamon to your meals. I know people are putting cinnamon in supplements, and that just seems like it's like, are we going to start taking chocolate supplements too? I mean, it's like, really?
Yeah, it's so easy to put in a like, shake. It tastes
why the
so
hell
good.
Would you want to like take a cinnamon supplement? Like, hello? And then the other one would be to use a blood sugar balancing formula. And the one I'm going to throw out there is called Diabinil. And Diabinil has got some chromium. I still am going to add extra, like I talked about, quercetin, Jimena sylvester, which I always think of Sylvester the cat when I say that, but that's like one of the herbs that's classically used to help balance blood sugar, along with bilberry and bitter melon and vanadium, vanadyl sulfate, and then lipoic acid. Lipoic acid is huge for helping restore insulin sensitivity, so that's another biggie. So Diabinil is another thing that you would want to add in there for blood sugar balance. So Omega Synergy, Ultra Chrome 500, Diabinil, vitamin D, fiber. Go get your levels tested. Because, again, I'm just, you know, guessing on what you could go ask your doctor about. Also, one other thing just about blood sugar levels and hypoglycemia. It's interesting because you could be eating well and be thin and still have this problem if you're under a lot of stress because stress drives up fasting blood sugar levels. So I just want to point that out, too. That's one of the ways I catch people. I bust people who are stressed out and lying about it.
Yeah. No, everything's fine.
Everything's good. No, I'm fine. No, I'm not overworking and overdoing. No, no, no. And then I look at their blood sugar. I'm like, what? So that's a quick way to bust someone. Yeah, it's how I can bust myself, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I was going to ask about that. I was thinking, oh, picture that to me. All right. So Natasha, if you could tell everyone how to ask a question to get into the queue, and then we'll answer the next one quickly, and then we'll start to take the live questions.
Okay. If you would like to ask a live question, please press *0 on your telephone now.
Thank you. So next question, does JJ disclose what moisturizer and makeup she uses? Cindy, I just love that.
Okay. Now, you know everything I've been using.
I know, but I love that.
Okay. So, well, here's the deal. I don't actually.
What a compliment.
I know. Well, thank you so much. And some meanie poo, I remember, wrote, you know, well, you've just airbrushed everything. I'm like, you can't airbrush videos. I mean, I wish.
Exactly.
You
not at all.
And with high
and
definition,
I see JJ in person, and everyone comments about her skin and all of those things. So,
well, this is the
absolutely
interesting
not
thing.
Airbrushed.
I'm not airbrushed. I really am me. So, my skin was always my Achilles heel. You didn't know that, probably. I had cystic acne, the worst skin, scars, everything else. Because, you know, growing up, I kept going to the dermatologist going, is food affecting my skin? No. And I loved dairy. Loved, loved, loved dairy. I was a frozen yogurt addict.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have had this discussion. Like, I eat
anything
dairy, and boom, I get a zit. It's like,
me too.
Zit.
Exactly.
So, you know, I mean, all those derms who told me it was not food, you were wrong.
Right.
So
it's very frustrating,
was,
though.
Oh, tell me about it. After all those adolescent years of, you know, acne.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, anyway, I forgive you all. But bottom line is I had to repair all that. So, I mean, I will tell you that, you know, full disclosure, I have done some all those intense pulse light and Fraxel treatments just to get the scarring and the red spots and all that stuff gone. So that was one of the first things I did. You know that I've done. I love IPL and Fraxel, so I'm very good friends with my local cosmetic surgeon. However, I use a line called Derma RX. It is the most amazing stuff. I used to consult with MediSpas, and I found this line, and I fell in love with it. And it's from Singapore. It's kind of like the Obagi of Singapore. And
mm-hmm.
so that's the line I use the most, is this Derma RX skincare line. Now, I also use, and I'm sure you can find it online. If not, I may have to turn you guys on to it, because I'm not sure. They're really weird about how you can order it, but we could probably do something for our group,
mm-hmm.
Which could be kind of fun. Now, because they have, like, a Vita A gel, a Vita C gel, a botanical skin lightener, just amazing stuff. I mean, just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I use the most of. I do use a little BioElements. I know the founder of that company, and they came out with an All Things Pure line that's pretty amazing. And
mm-hmm.
then my girlfriend is Carol Shaw of Lorac Cosmetics. I use all of those as my cosmetics, along with I kind of alternate with some of the mineral cosmetic lines. I was using Glow for a while, but now I'm using Bare Essentials. And there is one other thing that I'm using. New Skin, believe it or not, Age Lock Vitality is the most amazing.
Really?
Yes. It's so incredible. Incredible. And I loathe MLMs, loathe them. But this is the greatest product. I actually buy it on eBay.
And yeah, I love hearing all the different things, because it takes a village
mm-hmm.
of makeup.
Oh my gosh,
and moisturizer.
But I don't use straight moisturizers. I use a green tea serum. But straight moisturizers just really break my skin out. I have really sensitive skin to anything. That's where Lorac Cosmetics work for me. They don't break my skin out. Are they 100% no nothing? No, but you know what? They're pretty darn close. And where I really violate, do the pull the big rule violation, I'll admit it, is I love Fresh Cosmetics and skincare.
Oh, me too.
Oh my gosh, they have the
best.
That's
my brand.
Well, my girlfriend's daughter works for them. So I have to remind you,
love
I get
that.
Special, like there's the occasional friends and family, like 30% off day, so I'll have to forward it to you.
Oh, you have to. That's my favorite brand.
I know.
It's
well,
so fresh.
Their Supernova mascara
mm-hmm.
is the best thing on the planet. It is, I mean, I think I look a little like Tammy Faye Baker when I use it. My nails, my eyelashes are so long from it. Of course, I also use Latisse, so that's my other cheat. But and we have to trim my eyelashes now. So there was more information than anyone wanted to know, but someone asked, so there you go.
I think it's great. Okay, so Natasha, do we have anyone that wants to ask a question live?
We do not have anyone in the queue yet.
Okay, great. So we'll go on to the next one. This is from Marianne. I have a regular office job, which is rather sedentary, save for short trips to the toilet pantry. I am primarily desk-bound most of the working hours, 8:30 to 1 p.m. and after lunch, 2 to 7. I tend to experience a swollen leg syndrome at the end of the day, meaning my thighs and calves feel particularly heavy, like lead. They aren't the usual numbness or pins and needles feeling. I just feel very stiff and bloated, maybe water retention. My legs also feel very hard when I massage them. I don't get this syndrome every single workday. I used to think it's something that I ate during lunch that will cause the swollenness. But having been on the cleanse, I now think it's something that I lack. Any thoughts, possible suggestions that I could use?
Yeah, first off,
So do you want to do the side note
nah,
as well?
No, that's okay. I got to tell you, I hate to tell you this, but again, we're my sister, mother, brother, me. You need to go to a cardiologist and have them check you for congestive heart failure or intermittent claudication. Sorry, but you need to go check to see if you've got something going on with blood flow. Okay, so that's the first thing. Because I went go to the what I wrote down was get up throughout the day to move. Calf raises, things like that. Get support stockings. I know you're like, no!
Yeah.
Move around, but go to a cardiologist and check. Now, something that could really help here, the top nutrient here for help is CoQ10. And
okay.
Actually, I thought we had a CoQ10 question in here, and maybe if we did.
We did.
Okay, so then I'm just going to go onto this whole CoQ10 thing right now because someone asked about
what's CoQ10. Your opinion of the liquid CoQ10?
Well, here's the deal with CoQ10. So I was going to totally geek out. Like, I have a PowerPoint, and I can give you this PowerPoint. You guys can put it up. And I thought, okay, like, should I totally geek out and do the whole PowerPoint presentation on this? But the easiest thing to do is, and this is so fasting, Thorne bought the exclusive rights to a CoQ10 that I knew when I was at another company. That's crystalline free. And the deal with CoQ10 is there's no – CoQ10 is very expensive because one source out of Japan has managed to make CoQ10. Everyone else is like CoQ9, CoQ8. It's really hard to make. So, but then this guy, Dr. Bill Judy, figured out how to make it crystalline free, and it's this proprietary – formula patented, and he is the only one who's been able to do it. And the deal with this crystalline free is that you absorb it better in that form than dry powders, oils, nanoparticles, liquids, and liposomal preparations. I mean, hands down, and I've got all the different absorptions when they've compared it to different types of products, but it's significant. I mean, and what they did was they checked the absorption. And it's 5 to 8 times better absorbed than most of the other stuff out there. But also they check the blood levels. And so it's really quite significantly. In fact, in looking at it at crystalline free versus everything else, the lowest end, it's 2 times more absorbed. And at the best, it's 8 times more absorbed. And when you look at how expensive CoQ10 is, it's not like vitamin C. Okay, someone else is a little better absorbed. Fine, it's cheap. CoQ10's a freaking fortune, so you do not want to do it. Now, also, there's this whole thing about so what you can do to check yours, by the way, is you can get a paper towel, you can get the Thorne Q-Best, squish it out onto the paper towel and smear it, and then get yours and smear it, and you'll see little crystals in yours. And if you got the crystals, it's not getting well absorbed. And I can tell you, if you're not using Thorne, you're getting the crystals because Thorne bought the exclusive rights to use this, so no one else has it. Now, there's this other thing, just to geek out even further, about back to crystals. Metagenics actually tried to say they had a crystal-free CoQ10 product, but actually it's not, and they also use a solvent in there. Oopsies, shame on them. So, yeah, that's the other part. Now, there's also a question as to whether you should use ubiquinol or ubiquinone. And it's interesting because I'm assuming that Q-nol liquid is probably ubiquinol. And all these companies came out, oh, we have ubiquinol. Well, actually, ubiquinone is 3 times better absorbed than ubiquinol, more stable and less expensive. So this whole marketing thing of saying we should do ubiquinone or ubiquinol is wrong. You really want to use ubiquinone. So without knowing more than that on the product, I would tell you that it's there's no way it's as good as the one that we have through Thorne. And, again, I'd known this product for years, and when they told us they were buying the exclusives to it, I was like, oh, score, you know.
Right.
Because
especially
in a situation where something is so darn expensive, you know, again, like with B vitamins and stuff, like whoop-de-doo, but something that's really expensive, you want to make sure you're absorbing what you're taking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it is. It's a good point. It's so expensive.
Oh, it's so expensive. And, again, because, like, one company in Japan has figured out how to make make CoQ10 as opposed to, like, I think the closest was 9. So that's why it's so darn expensive. They have a monopoly. So there you have it.
Got it. I just want to make sure, Natasha, do we have any questions before we go on? I know some people sort of jump in middle of the call.
Not at this time, but a quick reminder, it is star zero for a question.
Great. Okay, so the next question, I'm interested in what you think about infrared blankets. I remember we were talking about this in class too. Do you like them? Do you have a recommendation or favorite? Do they travel well? Does it make sense to get one if it's not a sweater?
Oh, if you're not a sweater, I mean, these can help you. First of all, one of the things I've seen is that people who don't sweat well tend to be more toxic, right? Because when you look at how do we detoxify? We pee, we poop, we sweat. So if you're not a good sweater, you're going to have a higher risk of being toxic. So actually working with far infrared can help you become a sweater. Now you might be going, well, I don't want to be a sweater. But, yes, you really do want to be a sweater. So I don't have a favorite, but I think they are rock stars for people who can't get the whole, like, you know, far infrared sauna closet for their house. So this would be a perfect thing to do that you could take and, yes, you could travel with. So I love that idea. Brilliant. Go for it, Shauna. Yay.
Okay. I'm sure she's psyched. She's going out. Do you have a favorite that you recommend?
No, I don't. Just, you know, okay. What? I mean, eBay.
Great. Perfect.
My word.
All right, so next question. I've looked carefully at my supplements, mostly Vitamin Shoppe brands, and I see many have magnesium stearate. I've listened to the Q&As that discuss it, but I still don't understand exactly why magnesium stearate is bad. Is it because if it potentially interferes with absorption of the nutrients, you don't know how much of the supplement you're actually absorbing? And
yep,
what about
bingo.
Soybean? Okay. So should I read the rest, or do you want to answer that part?
Yes, let's start right there. What happens when you bring in mag stearate. And by the way, 1-4% mag stearate, it doesn't take much. It's just the littlest bit. Is you just threw in a wild card. Now you have no idea what's gonna happen. You have no idea once you add mag stearate in how much you're really gonna absorb anymore. And that's the problem. And so it throws in a wild card. And the things that are gonna impact absorption, biggie is, of course, going to be your GI health. And, I mean, like most of the people, and I don't know if it's just the people I track, but most people that I work with have GI issues. And so now you've got people with GI issues, and they are taking products with mag stearate. I have no idea what they're absorbing. Mm-hmm. So, and the thing is, it's just the companies trying to get more product done faster, cheaper. So you don't have to use it. It's just kind of lazy. So I was working with a company for years, and I was told the party line of it's fine, it's just food, it doesn't matter, blah, 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 blah. And I went and said that to everybody, and I'm really upset with myself now, and I publicly will tell people that. It's like I was totally wrong, and I listened to the party line, and when I started to really go and look at the research, I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, don't listen to a company. Go look and see. The studies are there to show that when you take, you have mag stearate in a supplement, it doesn't, again, take much. It's going to lower absorption. It's going to lower absorption potentially anywhere from 20 to 70%. So if you're impacting absorption and there's no need for it and you can get supplements without it, why would you do it? And then you look at it and you go, okay, you know, so now we've reduced absorption. And we don't know how much we're actually getting of it, and we're spending the same as we would have spent getting some other product. Like, why would you do this? I mean, you're not saving money getting that product. In fact, if you look at it, it's costing you more money. And who wants to take more pills anyway to get the same impact? And the other thing I'll tell you about it is, so I was taking these supplements, right? I was taking supplements with mag stearate, and when I stopped, my stomach stopped hurting. So, that's just another
interesting
little issue.
And the rest of the question, or the next part of the question, what about soybean oil or soy lecithin being listed in the other ingredients? Should I take them all back for a refund or toss them?
Well, I mean, when you can get a refund. I mean, like, unless they were so cheap that's not worth your time, but, like, if you can get a refund. However, soy lecithin is fine. You can always do soy lecithin. So don't worry about soy lecithin. So, that is so hard to say. Anyway, soy lecithin is a fine thing to use because actually it doesn't have the allergenic proteins, but soybean oil, not so. So skip the soybean oil, okay, on the soy lecithin.
And it's good that that was actually brought up because someone asked about the MediClear SGS, which I believe has soy lecithin in it as well.
Yeah, soy lecithin is fine.
Right, exactly. Okay. And I'm so glad that you said that because people have seen
it's
that in the
so
ingredient list.
It's confusing, isn't it? It's like
exactly, exactly. And so, you know, I currently take Tonalin CLA. It says it contains soy, but it's not listed in the ingredients. C. buckthorn, recommended by Dr. Oz. Haven't seen one bit of difference except my wallet is thinner. Chromium pickup. How do I pronounce that? Chromium?
Picolinate.
All of which supposedly help with weight loss. Krill oil, again, says contains soy at the bottom, but not listed in the ingredients anywhere. I know you've kind of covered this, but I just want to make sure I've got it right.
I think this is so this is so timely because, like, I was in Florida, as you know, and I went to my very best girlfriend's house next to you. And I had to throw that in. And
I know. I was like, wait.
Wait a minute. What about me? So, and but it was so funny because I, of course, you know, couldn't help myself, and now she's on the whole Virgin Diet program. But I said, well, bring me out your supplements. Let me see what you're taking. So she comes, she brings all this stuff out. I go, what is this stuff? She goes, it's everything that Dr. Oz has recommended. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I mean, frightening, right? All this crap. I got to be honest with you. There's very few things. First of all, the biggest thing that's going to impact your body's ability to burn fat is the type of foods that you're eating and your sleep and all those types of things. There are some things that can help here in some ways, but I've never been impressed with CLA. Despite the studies I've seen, I've never really seen it work. I think if you're very insulin resistant with a higher risk of cancer, I would put you on it. But other than that, I really don't see the point of it. C. buckthorn, haven't seen anything with. Chromium picolinate, I prefer other forms of it, but I would tell you with that one that it's really much more for blood sugar balance, right? So, you know, I think those things have their place, but I think they're so overblown out on what they can, you know, they're always overhyped as to what they really can accomplish. And it's nothing compared to pulling out the seven foods. I mean, that's.
I mean, the word is supplement. It's supplementing.
Exactly.
What
you know,
you're,
I like
what you're
use,
doing.
As you know, like so, for me, pull out the seven foods, get your burst style training in, get your sleep going, and then start to use things if you need blood sugar balance or insulin sensitivity or dealing with stress, like that Relora Plus. If you're a stress inducer eating person, or you have stress induced belly fat, love that one.
Or if you're just stressed out.
Yeah, I mean, Laura Plus is like my current favorite supplement. Don't leave home without it. I know you don't either. I do like the Apostation and Satiacin for people that have issues with appetite, cravings, and being satiated. But if you don't have those issues, then that's not going to do anything for you. Don't bother. You know, so it really comes down to start always first with dialing in the food. And dialing in the exercise and dialing in the sleep, and then let's look and see what's going on.
And, of course, I don't want to start going into the daily nutrient packs, but, I mean, I just – I don't
well,
know what I would
take
do.
Those. Everybody needs to be on. And I think that's one of the things is, like, you know, people never want to be on the basics because they're not sexy. But the first thing you have to do is get on the basics. You must be on the basics. I mean, that's
well,
the
that was me.
One.
I get it, and now it's just I do it every day, and I don't know what I would do without it. I mean, everything just runs more smoothly. Period.
Period. That's it. So I mean, that is basic. You must always, of course, be on the basics. The you know
yeah,
the
and
that's why those packets. I made those packets. You know.
And oh, I know, and if people should know that they have the, it has your fish oil in there. It has
It has fish oil, EPA, DHA, and GLA, which is critical. But again, what I tell people is, you know, all that other stuff like the CLA, which again I've never seen work, but all that stuff is after you take the basics. Because again, if you've got nutrient deficiencies, your body doesn't work correctly. So first thing you have to do is deal with making sure that you've got good basics going on. If anything, add in a, you know, an extra B vitamin, and then you can start looking at the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic, obviously, advice. Natasha, do you have anybody that I just always want to interject so people aren't just waiting to ask a call?
Yes, we do. Our first caller is Edie. Edie, please go ahead.
You have to know yourself.
Edie, your line is open.
Hi. Hello?
Hi, Edie.
Hey.
Hi. Actually, technically, I don't have a question. I just wanted to share something with you. I was injured 4 years ago, and for many reasons, I was too stressed out. No matter what I did, I kept getting re-injured, so I gave up. So I have been very inactive. I don't sweat, and I don't poop. And 10 days into the cleanse, I noticed I was sweating without even doing anything. Just my sweat glands opened up.
Yay!
Oh, congratulations. You must feel so much better.
Yeah, and I've stayed on the cleanse food. I haven't put eggs, dairy, or any of that stuff back, and I actually can walk twice as fast now, too.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh,
I love
great.
Hearing that. So you just were very inflamed.
Yep.
So, I mean, let's go back to when did this all happen?
Well, you kind of need to know that my life was threatened in a huge way, and I had to get a new identity, so I was just too stressed out. And so that's my reason why my foot never healed, because I was just too stressed all the time. I had to leave where I live. Everything went upside down in my life.
So what I would tell you to do, because stress, you know, your body's a history book, right? When you get under a lot of stress, it doesn't just like, oh, okay, the stress is gone, now I'm fine. It's your body still has to repair from that stress. So things that I would look at is I'd always consider looking, because you said you didn't sweat and you didn't poop. I still would talk to a doctor and look at thyroid function, because those are
they did
important.
Because I wrote out, reached out to you guys at one point, not you, but and your team member. I already went to the doctors. Every test is normal. I see a massage therapist. I'm really working on turning my life around.
Okay.
But I just wanted to let you know that I sweat now.
Yay, that's so good. You might want to read The Idiot's Guide to Thyroid Disease, because what most doctors think is normal is not normal, unfortunately. So, but I love hearing that. That's so good. And then just think about things that you can do, like, you know, B-complex number 5, phytosome, Relora Plus, things you can also take just to help support your body healing from stress. You know, if you've been under chronic stress, I really like Cytosome to help heal it. If you still feel stressed, Relora Plus is, and I'm saying that for everybody listening, that like if you feel like you're under chronic stress and you're like, ugh, that's Relora Plus. But if you've been under stress and now you're trying to heal back from it, that would be Phytosome. And anyone who's been under stress.
How do you spell that?
P-H.
We'll send it out. It's Phytosome, and we'll make it available in the store. But please go ahead. I just want to make sure that people don't have to search for it, because that's
Phyto with the PH, PHY. And then B vitamins and vitamin C are always, whenever you're under stress, you always blow out those and use them up. And so, you know, stress is a very nutrient-dense process. So think about those ones, too, just to support you getting fully back. And yay for you. And that's just so cool. I love hearing that. Thank you.
It was just a fluke. I turned on the email, read your ad, and went, my gut said, do it.
I don't think it was a fluke, personally.
Yeah. Things happen.
Okay, well, anyway, I don't usually open up that many emails. Anyway, so thank you very much.
All righty. Good
job.
Thanks
for sharing.
Thanks for taking action.
So, Natasha, do we have another caller?
Yes, we do. Our next caller is Sandra. Sandra, please go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for receiving my call. I sent in a question, and I called in a few minutes late, so I'm not sure if you already might have answered my question. It was about my experimenting with the shake, and it was very, very tasty, very, very convenient. And the first day I had it, it worked really well for me. I was sated. And then the next day, and I was really tired, you know, that day too. So it worked well in terms of feeling satisfied. But then as the days progressed, I noticed that my blood sugar and my mood just taint. And also my stools just started to get more and more irregular and smaller and pebble-like. And then I just started having craves like mad for, sugar and carbs. So, and just would wake up in the morning and just kind of feel down and just was really hard to get into a good mood that I'm normally in. So what I kind of deduced from that is that the shakes really don't work for me as much as I love the convenience, and maybe it's an occasional thing. So,
Wait. Can I stop you?
Yeah.
Okay. What were you eating like before you started all this?
Usually, a protein type, so meat, fish, vegetables, occasional sweets, but, usually I have to start off my day with a protein, like an animal protein, in order to feel, like, sated and have the rest of my day.
Well, give me an example of what a typical morning food breakfast would be for you.
It could be some sausage. It could be occasionally bacon, only because it's
You don't
convenient.
Have to just buy bacon to me. It's my like one of my most favorite foods on the planet.
Me too. Oh, I know. I love it. I love
me
it.
Me too.
It's okay. You can admit it. We love bacon. Okay. So, all right. But what else would you have with that?
Sometimes I would have leftover veggies, either steamed veggies from the night before, or sometimes I would just have a little bit of protein on its own after a workout, and then I would go. I wouldn't need a lot of food. I'm sensitive to gluten, dairy, egg, soy, corn. A lot of times my breakfast would just be some sort of leftover meat or smoked salmon, or sausage, something like that.
Have you tried doing, and again, the one thing I'd say is, like, make sure that you're getting some kind of either some slow, low carbs in there too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sliced tomatoes with some avocado and broccoli or something. But have you tried doing that for breakfast and then having the shake for lunch or the shake for dinner?
Yes, I did. And it was still, I think, even though the number for the sugar is low, it just, and I would play around with the amount of, I would switch from, let's say, the coconut milk to, let's say, water and coconut oil. I would put in avocado just to get more fat in, but not necessarily the coconut milk, because sometimes it was a little too thick for the shake with the fiber. So I definitely played around with it. I put greens in there. Sometimes I would just put in cold-pressed green juice. So I really tried what I thought I could. I even sometimes would have, let's say, bacon alongside the shake. And that would keep me alert for, like, the first hour. But then after an hour and a half, I'm, like, hungry and I can't really concentrate.
And you're doing it with enough protein, enough, I mean, you're making it big enough?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for
makes
sure.
No sense.
I followed the recipe, yeah.
So it's not your thing.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for you because, gosh, they saved my life. Now, have you tried, because I'll tell you, I just did this at lunchtime, where I just did coconut milk mixed with berries, mixed with protein powder, with some nuts on top, and sometimes I'll just I would love to be able to swirl nut butter in more often, but I'm such a little crack addict with nut butter that I normally can't have it in the house because I just can't handle myself. but that, I wonder if it's more the sense of eating rather than drinking that helps you, and if you're just getting your calories too fast when you drink. So that might be another way you can use the protein powder, because I love that so much. I had, when I was in Florida, I was getting my period, and I was, like sniffing around, and I took dark cherries and chocolate vegan, the chocolate Vegalite.
Yum.
And coconut milk, and I mixed it, I heated up the black cherries, and I mixed all that up, and it was, like, so darn good. It was so so good.
Wow.
That sounds very good.
So wait, the first one was coconut milk with berries, protein powder, and nut butter. Is that what you said?
And nut butter or chopped nuts on top.
Okay.
Really yummy. So, I mean, that's the other thing I love to use with the protein powder is I'm always, like, making these, like, pies. You know, pies. So good. So yummy. So that's, you know, you can think outside the box there a bit with these things.
Okay.
So that
might
work for you if you need to kind of eat rather than drink.
Okay. All right. And then another question. Have you ever heard – I found out on, like, a Dr. Mercola blog comment entry that sometimes people take colostrum if they're casein sensitive. Have you heard of that before?
Take it for what reason? Take it.
Well, I was thinking of adding it to a smoothie as an alternative experiment for a protein source because I can't dairy.
The only reason I have people do colostrum is if I need to raise secretory IgA, but you can use either aloe or Saccharomyces boulardii to do the same thing. So I kind of have backed off of it because you're still going to have some dairy issues with it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why you do that. Doesn't really matter.
Okay. You said aloe or what was the other thing?
Or Saccharomyces boulardii. I think we have it called Sacro-B. Is that what it's called? Sacro-B, Jackie, on the store?
I'm not sure.
I think it's called Sacro-B. Pretty sure.
Okay.
Sacro-B.
Yep, Sacro-B.
Anyway, those
yep.
are the two ways that you can do it, raise it, if you need to. Like I do some GI testing, and I'll look at your secretory IgA, which secretory IgA for people going, what the heck is that, is it's really a way to measure your gut immune system. And your gut immune system really is like your major – I mean, your gut's really your major immune system. So it's mm-hmm. a way to measure it. Just to look at SIG-A, as we call it.
Mm. Okay. All right. So if I were to, like, try to repeat the – because I have all the leftover supplements and everything, and maybe in 6 months or maybe 3 months repeat the detox, would it be effective to eat three meals a day, maybe two bigger ones and one smaller one while detoxing?
Well, remember, I want you to think not in absolute terms of I'm detoxing or I'm not, because ideally, first of all, every single day you're getting hit with crap, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's every day is we're getting toxic. And mm-hmm. really, who's going to win the best in their health are the people who detoxify the best. Ideally, you're doing things every single day to detoxify. Truthfully, I use most of the time now the MetaClear SGS shake. I kind of alternate a little bit with the vanilla vagalite, but I've been using more of that. And I take nutrients to help with detoxification every day, especially when I travel so much. I mean, walking into some of those hotel rooms where it's just like, ooh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to think of detoxification is really a continuum. You know, everything from drinking more water, having more green plants around, doing a lymphatic drainage massage, doing dry brushing before you get into the bathtub, doing, you know, all these things are detoxifying, right? Just what I like people to do a couple times a year is what I would call a very focused cleanse for a couple reasons. The number one reason is it kind of gets us back in line because no one's going to be at their peak and perfect all the time. First of all, if you are, no one likes you and they don't want to be around you because you're no one. You know? but also because, you know, we've got a lot of stuff to focus on. And so what I like about taking time and doing a detox is that you're paying attention, you're really focusing, and that's great. And you start to remember, oh, yeah, I forgot to be dry brushing. I forgot to do the bath with the sea salts and the Epsom salt bath and all that kind of stuff. So it gets you focused on some different things, and you can get a little bit more intense in your detox behaviors, you know, like do your detox packets, do twice-a-day detox shakes. Now, if you can't do the shake itself, there's still other things you can do. You know, you up your fiber, you do green drinks, you take the detox packets. Those things all support it too. So, you know, you do the best you can with what you've got.
Okay.
Okay. That was a long
awesome.
Long
Thank
long
you.
Answer. Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm glad I wrote it all down. Thank you.
Wow, that's impressive. All right.
Thank you, Sandra. I see your question. We hadn't gotten to your question yet, so I see where it is, and obviously we answered that in terms of the shape.
Yes.
Don't work for me.
Yes. All right. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. Natasha, do we have another caller, or are we going back to the submitted questions?
I do have one more in line if you'd like to take that.
Great. Sounds good.
Okay. Our next caller is Collie. Collie, please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to share with you first, if that's okay. I've been on the cleanse since the spring break cleanse, and
uh-huh.
You guys have saved my life. Thank you so much.
Can we get that in writing? Can we get that
yeah,
in writing?
No,
I'm serious. I want that in writing. You saved my life.
Yeah, definitely. I've done the two shakes a day and all the supplements that came with the kit. And last year I was diagnosed with premature arthritis, and my doctor looked at my hands because they were sore, the knuckles were red, I was having to crack my hands about 5 and 10 times a day, and he just looked at my hands, he held my hands, he goes, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm a milliner." And he goes, "What's that?" I said, "Hat making." And he looked at my hands and he kind of threw them up in the air and he said, "What do you expect?" And, I have a new doctor now.
Good.
Yeah, and he just summarily dismissed it as arthritis, and I would have shoulder rotator cuff pain and arm pain, back pain. But I didn't think my life was really miserable, and I had allergies, hay fever. I went on a cleanse, and 9 days into the cleanse, my hands stopped hurting. I stopped having to crack my knuckles. I have one knuckle that's just faintly pink, but it's going away. I have no rotator cuff problems at all. My hip doesn't click when I walk. I know this. It sounds amazing, but it's so true that I did the spring break cleanse, and I decided to stay on it. And then I decided the second week, or actually be my fourth week, to start adding stuff in. I wanted to start with dairy, so I had a cup of milk, warm milk at night, because I used to really enjoy that a long time ago. Woke up the next morning with a migraine. My head was stuffed. My face was swollen. I was in pain. Not going back to dairy.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty clear.
Right, exactly.
The same with soy. Everything that I was eating, I thought I was eating healthy before. Everything has been poisoning me, like you say. I didn't do sugar. I didn't do artificial sweeteners. I ate plain old-fashioned oatmeal, lots of Greek yogurt, lots of soy milk, fresh vegetables, and either chicken or salmon, or like Jackie likes sardines. I'm crazy for those.
I love this.
You guys are just disgusting.
Actually, you're my heroes, really. I get satisfaction at grossing people out about liking sardines. They just have such a visceral reaction.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, but everything wasn't organic or grass-fed or didn't have antibiotics. And once I switched to that, it's just I had one day where I really felt awful, and I remember JJ said, "Don't give up, don't give up." That was like my seventh day. I went to bed and I slept, and I got up, and since then I've had so much energy, and I'm losing weight. I lost 6 pounds, but in the first 2 weeks. This morning my husband grabbed me by the waist and kind of shook me a little, and he said, "Small," and he had a big smile on his face.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know. And my son looked at my face and said, "Mom, your skin looks great."
Wow. For a kid to say that? Amazing.
I know.
Yeah, and I don't wake up with a bad taste in my mouth anymore. Even though I brush my teeth, I'd always have that horrible morning breath. I don't have really bad morning breath anymore.
Interesting.
And my supposed carpal tunnel is gone. I don't sneeze. I don't have allergies and hay fever all the time, congestion. And it was like I was poisoning myself all my life and just didn't know it.
I have to get this in writing. JJ@jjvirgin.com, send this to me. I have to have this. This is this is incredible stuff for when the book comes out December 28th. I've decided, I didn't tell you this, Jackie, that I'm determined to help a million people. Obviously first it's leading out with losing weight, but as you can see, that's like the most minor part of what happens when you do this. It's just getting
Oh, of course.
But, I mean, when you really look at what all happens from doing this, it's just amazing. And what the story you're telling us is the thing that I hear most often, which you tell people at the beginning, they kind of look at you like, sure. But, I mean, most people at the end of 3 weeks are like, do I really have to eat that food? Because they totally get what it's been doing to them. It's like, why would you want to go back to that?
My other question is, can you make some suggestions when dining out, anything that's safe? Because my friends are getting sick of me because I won't eat. I call it poison food now.
Yeah, the biggest thing when you're out is to, because I have to go out with a lot of people all the time, and I end up ordering salads with a grilled chicken or salmon on it. I always make my own dressing. I always, JJ does this too. You look at the menu and you see what they have in terms of ingredients, if they're using avocado, if they're using lemon. Sometimes you'll be in a restaurant using pico de gallo or jalapeno. You can always ask for some chopped garlic, some lemon, and some jalapeno on the side and almost use that as your dressing. But the biggest thing that I do is that I do not really talk about the way that I order or the way that I eat food with my friends and with people that I eat on a daily basis, because everyone sort of has an opinion, and you end up bringing up what you do ends up bringing up issues in their own food habits or their own struggles or their own challenges. And soon you'll find that if you just start to order what you order, whether it's salads, you know, obviously salads and vegetable soups, although sometimes they tend to sneak some things in those vegetable soups, it's really great to just sort of stick with a huge salad and put some fish or some chicken or something on it, because you have so much more control. But the biggest thing that I have found now is that people will wait for me to order first, and then they'll just order what I ordered. JJ, does that happen to you too?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they wait. They, you know, they say, oh, Jackie, what are you going to have? And then if I'm not specific, they'll still wait till I order first. I mean, the biggest thing I think also, because JJ, I've seen, you know, obviously the way you order as well, is you're ordering exactly what you're ordering on the plate that you would do at home, and you're just it's so beautiful. You don't even have to cook it.
It's so much easier. So let me add a couple things in here that I think are really easy. Number one, what we do is we scan the menu. So we scan the menu to see what's on that menu that looks good. And I don't assume just because it's like, let's say the chicken has Brussels sprouts and I want the salmon. Well, so I'm going to get the salmon done the way the chicken's done, right? So I look at what all is on the menu and then I put together what I want.
Exactly.
And I'm very, very charming about it.
Me too.
Because, you know, you must be very charming. And I say to them, I go, oh, I think I'm going to be a bit of a pain. They're like, oh,
I
no, it'll be okay.
I do the same thing.
Yes, you must be very sweet and charming. Otherwise, they'll spit in your food, I swear. You know, because what you're about to do is really irritating.
And it's really irritating to the chef who has put these things together.
So we go, in fact, you were with me in Miami when I kind of said to him, I really want this. Do you think, what do you think the chef will do? And we got into cahoots about it. I was like, well, I'll get him to do it. And la, la, la. And he's like, oh, the chef's a pain. I'm like, you think you could get him to do it? Oh, yeah, I bet I could. So, I mean, we went through this whole thing because I'm like going, this is what it's like, you know, in my mind, in my brain, I'm going, I'm paying. I'm having it this way, dude. But I'm going to be very nice, and they're going to let them know that's what I'm thinking. And so I really look at that whole menu. I ask a lot of questions because you can get anything done with olive oil. And, I mean, I eat out, you know, I just was 3 weeks on the road. I eat out everywhere, and 90% of the time I feel great. I mean, I can always tell when I got hosed, and you will occasionally, and I'm like, oh, my stomach's killing me.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, it all works out pretty well. I will tell you a funny story because I was out with Dr. Amen and his wife was selling her new book with my agent, and my agent, who went on the program, and so she's doing everything right, and her boyfriend, and then this guy that's a buddy of mine, you know him, Khan. So Khan's family are wheat farmers, which is really hilarious. So he was late, so I ordered for him. And at the end of the dinner, he was, like, confiscating everybody's rolls and eating everybody's bread. No one would eat it. And you know what? The next day he said, okay, I'm not eating wheat anymore. He just cut, because I was like, you can do whatever you want, man. I'm not like your mother. I'm not in charge. You do what you want. But it's like, I think the peer pressure finally got to him.
Yeah. It's funny, too. I don't even let the bread come to the table.
No, I don't invite the enemy to
ever,
the table.
Ever. Because if I'm really hungry, I'll just want the whole thing because
well,
I'm so hungry.
I mean, especially when they have, like, that really crusty sourdough bread. I'm not letting that get to the table.
With butter. And
Who has the self-control to deal with that? I mean, don't
exactly.
Be mean to yourself. Don't do that to yourself. It's just ridiculous.
Exactly.
But I do find it really easy to eat out, you know, because you just get the menu. You get the and you talk to the chef. You talk to the waiter, and you do it. But, again, don't talk – do not talk about it with the people at the table. Just kind of don't make a big scene about it. Don't be a pain in the ass. No one likes that person. Right?
Well, well, it's stirring up things for them. That's
yeah,
the thing.
they all feel, you know, it's like I just kind of talk to the waiter, say what I want. I don't make pass any judgment on what anyone else is eating, although sometimes my face might make a little thing. But
and also, JJ says this in a different call, and I completely agree because we always do this with my husband. You just sometimes you have to just say you're completely allergic because some restaurants don't want to.
Yeah, you can
make
tell
something different. Yeah, you'll know. And if
that's
you say you're allergic,
the allergic thing.
Yeah, they don't want to deal with that at all. And so they will go out of their way. Oh, okay, grilled? Nothing's on the grill. We'll put this in a separate place for you, only salt and pepper. You know, so you really can sort of call your shots. My husband always can because he actually is allergic to some things. So that's always a great thing to use if you feel like you're getting a little bit of pushback.
Yeah, just explain. Say, hey, I didn't really want to, like, make a big deal, but it's a health issue, and here's what happens. If this happens, I'll be, like, in the bathroom the rest of the night. In your bathroom. Oh. Jackie.
Well, Collie, thank you. I can't tell you how excited I am to hear and how heartened I am to hear about, you know, the fact that you're not in pain in your knuckles.
So
huge. What you do for a living. I'm so excited for you.
I know. So please write that out. I love that. And we have to tell you one other thing because Jackie and I were in Miami with a group of gals, and we went out to dinner. And it was so funny because Jackie and I ate the way we eat, and, like, these gals ordered salads and then donuts.
Oh, I mean, the biggest dessert I'd ever seen. It was huge, and because they were starving.
Yeah, because
they had ordered
salads, and then they had
like
donuts.
Little tiny salads, though, not even just
yeah.
they weren't even an entree.
We were
so
at like a steak and fish place where we ate so much we couldn't have eaten a donut should we have wanted to, which we didn't. So anyway, just
well, thanks
to
again. Natasha, do we have another caller or do we go back to the Q&A?
We do not have anyone in the queue.
Okay. Thank you. So the next question, and so many people ask me this, what about steel-cut oats? How about sprouted grains like Ezekiel bread, tortillas, and pasta? Is sprouted wheat any different than any other wheat? I listened to the caller with her list of possible grains. One that wasn't asked about was rye. Is that okay? I love whole rye. I think it's Ryvita crackers with hummus eggplant spread on them.
Okay, well, rye is gluten.
Right.
Number one, let's break this down here. So A, rye is gluten. B, steel-cut oats, as long as they are done in a gluten-free plant, yes. Okay, so when you sprout grains, you're still going to get the gluten, but what you're going to do is reduce the phytic acid and lectins. Remember, lectins lead to leptin resistance, insulin resistance, and weight gain. So when you sprout, you will reduce that. So that's the good news, and you'll reduce the phytic acid. So there's some benefit to it. You may be able to tolerate sprouted grains where you couldn't do regular grains. I think the less grains, the better. That's number one, my personal opinion, is that
me
I think,
too.
The lower grains, the better. I would rather see you eating lentils and legumes that have been well-soaked, and then quinoa, because quinoa is a seed, not a grain. And I think the less grains you eat, the better off. It's funny, because if I try to do oatmeal for breakfast, my blood sugar sucks. I'm amazing.
I'm starving. I'm like starving in an hour and a half if I do that for breakfast.
Me too. So I it's like done. Don't do it, you know.
And the other thing that I see people do is that they love bread so much, so they say, okay, well, I'm going to substitute it with the sprouted grains because I still need that bread. But one of the issues is that it doesn't taste like they're incredible, what we were just talking about, sourdough crusted bread.
No, it doesn't.
So,
it's not
so
the
same. It's not a good substitute, and they end up eating three times as much because they're still craving that taste of that white bread or whatever they loved. It's almost better to almost find other great things that you like just as much versus trying to sort of find the substitute.
Well, and you brought up something really important, and it was interesting. When I was at Harlequin for my book, like, sales meeting. I love Harlequin so much, I have to say it again. Love them. Love you, Harlequin.
I know.
Anyway, I'm in love with them. And so when I was there, they cornered me, these gals. We want to know what you crave. Like, what? And it's very interesting. I will tell you that I used to have horrible cravings for frozen yogurt, for sourdough bread, for muffins. But when you do not eat that stuff, you don't have cravings for any of this stuff. It's gone. So I will tell you, now that I don't eat, I mean, I don't eat bread. I used to be that I would occasionally eat a little bit of a crust of sourdough, but when you just stop doing it, you get over it. And now I know, like, if I do, my fingers are swollen the next day. Well, if my fingers are swollen, my body's swollen. And it's like, is that really worth it? So when these things have a drug-like effect on your brain, and I put that on my Facebook page today, and some person, like, sent me some snotty pants remark back, and I'm like, honey, they do. It's like, not my rules, you know.
Right.
You know,
well, even
drug,
the smallest
Google
amount,
it.
even the smallest amount of, if you have like a lot of honey on something, you didn't realize how much honey it is. It's going to make you want more food. I mean,
right.
So many of these things are a drug-like effect, and you're absolutely right. You didn't make up the rules.
I know people are so mad at me, and I'm like, it's not my. Trust me, if these were my rules, like we would be able to start the day off with, you know, dark chocolate, sourdough bread, and lots of wine, okay? So it's not my rules, you know?
You know, another very quick thing I want to add is that it does take me, sometimes when I go off sort of the cleanse way of eating because it'll just happen, it takes me a few days to have the cravings completely go away, and then they really go away. So don't also give yourself a chance, like, sure, like, so you didn't do things for a couple days. You're like, but I still want it, you know? It just depends on sort of where you are and how you take things, whether you're going to crave it or not. So it takes me a few days to say, okay, I really don't want that slice of pizza I see right when I walk into Whole Foods. It's the best pizza I've ever had.
Every day it gets easier. It gets easier. It gets easier. And had you told me, like, I don't know, a year ago that, like, I could – walk into Starbucks and they would have that damn oatmeal raisin cookie back in stock that they had before and that I wouldn't want it, I would have gone, no chance. But
right.
It really is at a point now where I can look at that oatmeal cookie. And I will tell you, 3-4 years ago when they first started that oatmeal cookie, and my mother used to make me oatmeal raisin cookies, and I looked at that and I was like, all of a sudden, I know I had to have the damn thing.
It makes complete sense.
Yeah, totally. Food is love. So, but now I look and I'm like, could care less, but it's really, when you do not eat these things, you break free of these cravings, and that's the best part. It's like you just got freed up from prison, from food prison, you know?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you just said that, because somebody just sent me an email the other day and said, you know, sugar really is a beast. That's kind of my line. Sugar is a beast, you know, in many ways. And they said, it really is a beast. Suddenly, I don't find myself controlled by it anymore. And that's always the best feeling, when you feel like you can take it or leave it versus feeling like, if I don't have that chocolate right now, I'm going to
killing somebody.
Go crazy. Exactly. So, Okay, so the next question, how do you make good kale chips? I've tried, they always burn, and they make me really gassy. Do you want me to take that? Or
You take that one because I've been buying them at Whole Foods.
Okay. Oh, you have? Ones. Do you mean those new things in the packages?
The raw ones? There's a couple different brands. There's a raw sea salt vinegar one.
Yes.
Holy moly
I haven't tried them.
Thing.
That's so
well,
funny.
You know, the thing is they're carby, so you have to count them as your high-fiber starchy carb. And
okay.
I'm just a little piggy poo with those things, so you have to be careful with them.
Because they're so good.
Yeah. I looked at them and I went, okay, I can't bring these home. You know.
It's so funny. Well, the way that we make always with kale chips, it's best to slice it lengthwise. Almost so they're long strips in a way. And the biggest thing if you're burning them is that you're cooking them at too high of a temperature. So you're really going to look at sort of a 350, but keep ratcheting it down if you still find that you're burning it because, you know, ovens all run differently. I always do salt. I always do like a tiny bit of pepper. I do a tiny bit of olive oil. It's much better to do coconut oil if you want to, but my kids happen to like the olive oil taste more than the coconut.
Try Malaysian palm fruit oil then.
I know. I know. And I also want to try macadamia nut oil that I have to go to like special stores to get, which I haven't.
Just get it on Amazon
done.
Prime, man.
Yeah, I'm going. It's such a good point. I know, and I have to because, you know, we all know that the olive oil is not the best to be cooking at such high temperatures.
Well, make sure you're doing the regular, not the extra virgin. But honestly, Malaysian palm fruit oil does not get damaged by heat.
Okay,
so
I'm going to write that one
really,
down, too.
Yeah, and you can get it online. I mean,
okay.
I get everything. Everything I do, I first check on Amazon Prime and see what I can get there first.
Oh.
And by the way, okay, so let's talk crunchy. Those raw flax crackers are the yummiest things ever.
I haven't had them. Okay, they're good.
Oh,
I haven't had those.
So
I just want to finish really quickly. Only put them in the oven for about 11, 12 minutes and keep checking. The biggest thing with kale chips is they will burn very quickly, even if you do it at a low heat. So you have to be super mindful so that you can tell what your oven does. In terms of making you really gassy, I'm not sure. JJ, do you have a comment
about
that?
Well, I mean, I'd need to know more. Like, is this the only thing that makes her really gassy? How much is she eating to get gassy? You know what I mean? It's like.
Right. Okay.
It's like, it depends how much of something you're eating. Right? Because, I mean, if I hog out on broccoli and Brussels sprouts, I'm going to get a little gassy, but it just.
Yeah. And after your body gets used to it, a lot of times sort of it goes down, but it just depends, too. The next question, if I already drink 8 cups of green tea per day, 8 tea bags plus extra water, should I be cutting that or doing it in addition to 8 cups of water? I also drink 24 to 48 ounces of water when I work out. I generally drink a combination of various Yogi green teas, not usually decaf, except decaf kombucha and Costco Kirkland matcha. I also add 1/2 cup of unsweetened cranberry juice and lemon juice to the 2/5 quarts to make it sour.
So let's see, 8 cups. Aches the water. I mean, if you're doing 48 ounces of water and you've got 8 cups of tea, the biggest way to know this is like, are you dehydrated? Like when you step on a scale, has your weight gone down? You know, like work out and then check your weight. But it sounds like you're getting enough fluids. And, I mean, because you're getting in 48 ounces of water when you work out. Because, yes, tea will dehydrate you a little bit, but it's not like you drink a cup of tea and you need 2 cups of water. So I think we are okay here.
What about the unsweetened cranberry juice?
Well, 1/2 cup of that. I'm not a big fan of cranberry juice, but 1/2 cup I'm not worried about.
Okay.
I know
okay,
that
great.
That Anne Louise Gittleman one I don't agree with.
Right. That's what I was referring exactly.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I don't think that one.
All right, I read this on the Flavia Del Monte website. Greek yogurt is made slightly differently than regular yogurt. After the milk is fermented with live bacteria, the yogurt strained in a filter or cheesecloth. The straining process removes the whey, the liquid part of milk, and at the same time removes the lactose. Greek yogurt is low in fat, sugars, carbohydrates, and high in protein, making this a favorable food to support a flat stomach. Does this mean it's a good choice, or should it still be cut limited after the cleanse? I love Greek yogurt, or
if you can handle dairy or not. Just because it's taking out whey doesn't mean it's taking out casein. We know this, that just got totally distracted by something.
I was waiting for you to come back.
We know, I mean, the stuff she just said about Greek-style yogurt, it's like that's why we tell people to have Greek-style yogurt. It's higher in protein. But if you can't handle dairy, you can't handle dairy. Now, for people who can handle dairy, you're always better with fermented dairy. That's always better with fermented dairy, raw dairy, organic dairy, right? But you know, if you can't handle dairy, it doesn't matter if it's Greek-style yogurt or what, you can't handle dairy. If I eat Greek-style yogurt, which I adore, love so much, I get zits.
Yeah, and the thing is that after you reintroduce it, you know, after you were, not you, JJ, Deb is who wrote this, after you reintroduce it, you'll be able to see pretty quickly if you've been cleanse compliant. You know, in class three, we talk about exactly when, JJ talks about when she reintroduces things to the diet.
Yeah, so, I mean, remember, it's not the reason that dairy is one of the most reactive foods that I've seen. And so even though something could be considered healthy, doesn't mean it's healthy for you. And that's a really important thing. Greek-style yogurt could be considered healthy, but if you have autoimmune disease or you have acne or rosacea, it's not going to be healthy for you.
Great point. Before I go to the next question, Natasha, do we have anybody that's waiting to ask a question? I just didn't want anyone sitting there.
Not at this time.
Okay, great. Next question, why are tomatoes considered a high-fiber, starchy carb choice on the food list? Now that I'm done with the cleanse, is this something I can snack on?
First of all, like we talk about not snacking. So we tell you to eat three meals and one snack. So this, no, you can't snack. But why tomatoes are considered a high-fiber, starchy carb is because they are. They are really a fruit. Fruits are under the high-fiber, starchy carb. So we have protein. They're not in that one. We have fat. They're not in that one. We have non-starchy vegetables. They're not in that list. So the only list they can if you want to have a tomato as part of your one snack a day, if you do need to eat your snacks, and again, if you've got adrenal exhaustion, high fasting blood sugar, and you have to do, for the time being, three meals and two snacks as you heal your adrenals or fix your insulin resistance, that's one thing. But ideally, you're eating every 4 to 6 hours and you're not snacking. You might have one snack a day. I find that sometimes I will do one snack. But what you could do is you could do, say, tomatoes and sliced turkey. That would be fine, or tomato, avocado, sliced turkey. But just tomato on its own, I'm not a fan of just snacking on a high-fiber, starchy carb because it will drive up your blood sugar.
And then the next, we keep kosher, and kosher grass-fed meats are truly prohibitive in cost. If I can even find them, what would you recommend?
Well, if you can't do it, then do the best you can with what
you
can do.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too.
You know?
Exactly.
And, I mean, grass-fed beef, as far as I'm concerned, people can eat as much, you know, they can eat grass-fed beef, like, way more than regular beef because it's not pro-inflammatory. So it really depends on, you know, if you're eating corn-fed beef, don't go eating it four times a week. Limit it.
Okay, so the next, we answered the second part of Deborah's question, but the first part, I sprained my ankle. What should I do for exercise?
Well, this is really, I don't know how bad of a sprain it is and what you're able to do. I mean, the good news is you can still do all of your upper body stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you can do that. And as far as the rest of it goes, you know, I don't know how bad of a sprain it is if you can do things like squats and stuff like that. So, you know, without working directly with you, I would tell you really kind of have to talk to your doctor or physical therapist on that one and see what you're able to do.
I will say I sprained my ankle last year, and the first person I called, well, I did go to a physician, but right after that, the first person I called was Stu Middleman. I don't know how long you've been with Peer Trainer, but maybe you've heard us talk about Stu, and he is an ultra marathoner. So he did 1,000 miles in 10 days. So he ran like 100 miles a day. So, of course, you know, he's a different kind of athlete, but he's experienced millions of sprained ankles. And what was interesting is his advice was the exact same advice that was at my physician. And, you know, I live in Boulder, so it's a pretty active place. And they both said you have to always, on a scale of 1 to 10, you have to gauge your pain. So if your pain is at a, when you're walking, so if your pain is at a 3 or below, then that's okay. And if your pain goes over a 3, then you should start resting. So the one of the worst things that used to be, all the research pointed to rest, and, you know, don't be on your foot. But what they found in the recent stuff is that your muscles atrophy very quickly when you keep resting. So, you know, again, of course, go to your physician, but, you know, really use that scale because it really helps. It helped me get over my sprained ankle, and I really rolled it. I had been hiking up this mountain called Mount Sanitas, and it was a pretty, at the time, it was I was going fast, so I was really putting some pressure on it. But I think I healed my ankle within a week and a half, 2 weeks at the most, from sort of going on this advice and still using it. But if I was over 3, I would stop and I would completely rest. So just as an ancillary thing, of course, go to your physician, but that's really, for me, I kept walking and I was really able to get back pretty quickly.
Yeah, you know what I would tell you, I've sprained my ankle so bad that they actually put it in a cast when I lived in Japan.
Oof.
And the way I've always been taught to do, yeah, it was a nightmare, sprained ankles is to push them to the point of pain, slight pain, and keep going, and then back off. And that's, I mean, same thing, just exact same story as you. But the other thing that really helped me get through a sprained ankle quickly is acupuncture.
Oh, interesting. That makes complete sense, of course.
Mm-hmm. I mean, amazing. I will tell you that I sprained my ankle. I was living in Japan. I sprained my ankle, right? And then I came back home, and I went back to Japan to take some videos and immediately sprained my ankle again. Now you're going, what the heck is it? Well, in Japan, they have these little step downs all over the place. But I was always so concerned about hitting my head on the door jams when I was walking through the step downs.
So
instead of looking down at the step down, I was always looking up to see if I was going to hit my head. So I kept missing the step down. So I missed the step down, sprained my ankle, which is so silly. So I had a black and blue ankle, and I had to dance in a video, and the only thing that saved me was massive acupuncture.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not laughing at you. That's awful. I can't believe that. That's such a strange thing to have to go through in your daily life. Oh, my gosh.
I've had such weird, weird stories, like when you really start getting down to it. Okay, so,
next question. Hi, Jackie and JJ. I've been loving the cleanse, been almost 100% perfect. 2 shakes, 1 high veggie, low starch, lean protein meal a day, bursting, walking, hydrating. The problem seems to be instead of having better bowel function, I'm getting more constipated in a dry way. Water intake is adequate or better. The few times I've had something sweet, like, for example, date-flavored flaxseed crackers, the size of a quarter, small amount of 88% extreme dark chocolate, I've noticed almost immediate GI upset and headache, a toxic response. I'm wondering if this and the bowel dryness are features of candida overgrowth that are unmasked by the otherwise cleanliness of my diet. Should I cut out all sugar, even fruit and shakes, and go with the what is that?
Oh, it's andisilic acid. Here's a couple things here. So she's trying to figure out why the dryness. I would be more concerned that you are not digesting your fats well, honestly. So there could be a couple things going on, and this would be great to work with an integrative MD, nutritionist, or a functional, or, you know, a naturopathic doctor. If you can tell us where you're at, maybe we can give you a suggestion. But, I mean, my first thing that I hear when I hear this is that maybe you're not digesting your fats well. So, and make sure that you're getting enough fat in your diet. So that's number one. Make sure you're getting enough healthy fats in your diet. Okay. So I'm not really sure when you say you're more constipated in a dry way, I really don't quite get what that means. Do you?
If you want to, yeah, and this is from Liz. If you want to elaborate on that and send
yeah,
an email,
why don't you send us a, we need a bigger, you know, send an elaborate on this thing and then just send it to me and I'll send it back over. Okay.
Perfect. Okay.
So you do not have to wait a month. And then the next one was a blender, a long-term sturdy blender. I can tell you what I don't like.
Okay.
So because my ex-boyfriend gave me a tornado. This was one of his – I was just thinking about because my birthday's coming up, Jackie, and I go, whatever happens this year, my birthday will be better than last year when my boyfriend tried to give me, after 2 years of dating, a $100 Starbucks card as a birthday present and then went and bought me CZ earrings. Yeah.
Oh.
So anything's better, but he also at Christmas gave me a tornado blender, so Mr. Romance. And that is just – they tried to sell it as, like, a better version of a Vitamix, and it is not. You know what? Nothing beats a Vitamix. The best
I have a Vitamix.
Vitamix.
My Vitamix is just incredible, and I know that it's expensive, so I know that it's, you know,
but
over –
but it's forever.
I think it's over $400. It is forever. I will tell you that if you're just like, I'm just not going to spend that kind of money on a blender, I do like the Osterizer Professional. I'm not sure how much it is. It's definitely cheaper than the Vitamix. I know when I've done my shakes in there, you know, I've sort of, in fact, I've experimented because I know everyone's not going to buy a Vitamix. I wanted to do it in two different things because the Vitamix just blends these shakes so well. You don't have to think about it. But I wanted to sort of do it in the Osterizer, and I really do like that as a second choice.
Okay, that's good to know.
The Osterizer, whatever, Professional.
If anyone wants to get me for my birthday, it is this week.
Oh, it's this week? Oh, I didn't even know. I didn't even know. I'm glad. Okay, I'm finding out with everybody. And let's make sure, why don't we all send JJ a blender for her birthday just to get her over the trauma.
I know, because every time I look at that tornado, I'm mad at him all over again.
I think we should all tell JJ just to give away the tornado. Never look at it again. All right, so the next one is, can you break down the cleanse in terms of what we are doing that helps loosen up the toxins in our system versus what parts of the cleanse specifically aid in the ridding of the toxins? For example, we cut certain foods out of our diet. We took detox pills, drank water, green tea, extras. I'm trying to zero in on what category each of these things fall. Now, Gigi, I was pretty sure this was in your class, but, you know, a lot, pretty
yeah,
in-depth.
Yeah, there's a chart in the class. Really, the best thing you can do, there's a chart that shows what, you know, frees it up and what thing gets it out. I mean, the biggest thing is you want to look at minimizing toxic exposure. That's number one. And then anything that can support detoxification, both helping your body, you know, free them up from the tissues and then helping your body escort them out. And there's a chart on there that does it. I'm honestly trying to figure out why, and some things fall into multiple categories. And to be quite honest, I'm trying to figure out, because in life there really aren't any absolutes here. I really don't know why someone would want to really even know this, because, like, you know, there's phase one, there's phase two, there's then oxidative stress. I mean, there's things that are important in phase one and phase two, some things that are more in phase two. But, I mean, I don't know why it really even matters, you know. Like,
yeah,
point.
And I think the biggest thing
headache,
is you really did go pretty – you went pretty in-depth in this in class one. It might be a good idea just to sort of review that as well.
Yeah, and look at that. You know, did we give that big, intense chart that goes through all of this?
You know, I'll look – I don't know off the top of my head.
Not,
I thought so, but if not, I'll just send
it
out.
Yeah, put it back in
we'll
there.
Just send
but
it out.
Again, my comment to you is that there are really no absolutes. There are things that are going to help with phase one that also help with phase two. There's things that may just push phase two and not help with phase one. There's things – it's – you know, your body doesn't – your body works in a continuum.
Right, okay. Right. The next question, I do high-intensity interval training for 15 minutes early in the morning – and I am exhausted afterwards. I literally fall asleep laying on the floor after the workout. Is that normal? if I do want to go back to bed, should I wait to drink my cleanse shake until after I wake up the second time, or should I drink it immediately after the workout, regardless of whether I go back to bed?
Okay, I need more information here because I looked at this and I went, what time are you getting up? Because if you get up and you're so exhausted after working out, either what are you doing getting up at 4 a.m. and working out? Like, that was my question. Or, you know, are you, do you have, is this, like, would this happen anytime you work out? There's something wrong. So it's not about what time you should drink your shake. It's why is this happening? Because there's something really wrong here.
After a 15-minute interval.
Training. There's something wrong. You either have adrenal exhaustion or, you know, you're trying to work out at 2 a.m. and it's not making any sense. So I don't know which one it is, but I heard that and I went, this isn't about when to drink your shake. This is about why are you so exhausted.
Yes, exactly. What happens to food within your body if you take a nap after eating? In other words, why is it bad to sleep after eating?
Well, a nap's not a problem. The reason that I talk about not eating 2 to 3 hours before bedtime is because I want you to be able to raise ghrelin. Ghrelin is the hormone produced by your stomach and when it's empty. And so what I want you to be able to do when you're sleeping is raise ghrelin, which helps then trigger the release of growth hormone, which helps you repair and rebuild, which is what we're supposed to be doing when we're sleeping, repairing and rebuilding. And if you go to bed with a full stomach, that your body's difficulty doing that. Also, biomechanically, I mean structurally, if you go to bed with a full stomach, you could also create a little heartburn. So that's the other issue.
Because of the Peer Trainer website, I've read through books like Living the Low-Carb Life, Why We Get Fat, and Johnny Bowden's 100 Healthiest Foods. Are you familiar with the contents? Do you agree with the recommendations within? For example, low-carb diets are explained and ranked in the first book, and within several of the highly rated diets, fats and cheese are also a large part of the diet.
So Johnny Bowden's one of my best friends, and I think if you've read the books, you've seen me quoted. So love Johnny, and understanding he's rating the different diets, and that's all about low carb. And if you look at what we're doing, it's a low carb diet, but we deal with something else, and that's another thing called food intolerance, which isn't part of the low carb diet. So that's the difference. So I love what Johnny's doing, and this is just taking that to the next level in that it's low carb plus food intolerances.
And also, just to clarify for a quick second, carbs meaning low carb meaning like low bad carbs.
Yeah, I mean, I want to eat as many non-starchy vegetables.
Yeah, vegetables are carbohydrates. So that always, you know, always have to stick that in.
Well, if you look at two, I don't include vegetables in carbohydrates. That's why I've termed things differently because I don't want people to ever feel like, oh, I shouldn't eat those non-starchy vegetables. It's like, no, you need to.
And I'm just glad we're clarifying that because sometimes people forget, like, low carb means low bad carbs, not the vegetable, you know, part of it. The next one, I was following a diet plan that revolved around eating a 2-ounce protein, lean protein, plus half a cup of starchy carb, example brown rice, and 1 to 2 cups of vegetables every 2 to 3 hours. The starch is included in that quantity in every meal, so my question is, what are the drawbacks of this method? You specifically talked about in the class why we're not going to be eating every 2 to 3 hours and why we eat 3 meals. I mean, feel
the
free to elaborate again.
The only way I'd have someone eat that way is if they have hypoglycemia, they're insulin resistant and healing, or they've got some issues with adrenal exhaustion and they're healing. Other than that, I do not advocate eating that way because when you eat small meals every couple hours, every time you eat, the very nature of eating means that you are going to raise blood sugar. If you are raising blood sugar, then you are going to raise insulin. If you are raising insulin, then your body does not need to access stored fat for fuel because you've just eaten. Not my rule.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's not. And it's not. And there's so many, you know, other people, whoever you follow, like, you know, there are many people that talk about this and talk about the importance of the really getting into the habit of the 3 meals a day.
And just getting out there because I don't know where that whole silliness got to about, you know, eating 3 meals and 3 snacks or 2 snacks. Like, who made this up? I'm convinced
everyone
snacking
everyone
industry
we
made it up. I swear.
Everyone we've ever worked with on Peer Trainer has talked about three meals. It's
okay,
first time, I don't
that, that's just silliness because it doesn't
yeah.
make any sense.
So the next one, one diet plan I saw in a magazine allowed for 250 happy calories each day and allowed you to
I
know, I loved reading this, and allowed you to bank them up for 3 days and have a mini splurge. They're called happy because they can be anything you want. Of course, this appeals to me. Is it detrimental to your weight loss efforts to allow yourself this mini splurge daily? For example, does it do something to your fat-burning switch if you were to spend the calories on French toast for breakfast?
Oh,
yes.
My God. I'm like, really? Did you ask? I read this thing, and I literally put OMG, oh, my God, 250 calories per day if your body was a bank account would equal 50 pounds per year. But this isn't – remember, your body's not a bank account. It's a chemistry lab. And since you're not eating 250 happy calories of broccoli, I'm just betting, you're eating it of muffins, cookies, crap.
Yeah, French toast for breakfast or
right?
small slice of pie
it's
at dinner is what
you,
I'm reading here.
Exactly. It's going to make you an even better fat store. 250 – I mean, oh, hell no.
Yeah, and the thing is it's just going to make you want it more and more and more. You're just going to go through the withdrawal afterwards, and the next day you're just going to want more. That's just the way it is. Remember when JJ was just saying it really does act like an addiction in your body. This 250-calorie splurge now just becomes this drug that you're dependent on.
Yeah, I mean that, it's like, believe me, if that could work, I would be
everybody
all
would
over that.
It.
I would
me
be like,
too.
I'd be that would be my next book. My next
day.
Book would be, yeah, it'd be like the 250 happy calories book. Because
yeah, I mean,
everyone
I
would buy it.
Want, you know what's so funny? I'm not even a sugar. I'm more of a salt person. And just reading this, if this were, I would literally find an excuse to be eating 250 calories of chocolate a day, not even craving chocolate. I mean, that just plants something in your mind that sets you up for disaster.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my next.
Yeah. Okay.
Natasha,
did we get that?
Natasha, do we have anyone waiting to ask a call? Because I know we've been ask a question. I know we've been going
straight
through.
You've been on a rant.
Here.
You've been on a rant, Missy. Yeah, and it's 1:30,
I love
so
it.
We got to wrap this sucker up.
Okay. Natasha, do we have anyone?
So we shouldn't take any more questions. We should just wrap through these.
Okay. There's still, okay. My husband has a phlegmy cough in the morning, constantly clearing his throat. He does eat eggs daily and uses whey protein powder for shakes. Do you think his cough could be from a food allergy?
Well, there's one way to know.
Yes, do the cleanse.
Just pull the food and let's see.
Yeah. The next, I'm trying to have a better understanding of what each supplement purpose is within the cleanse. Can you briefly explain?
Detox packets help support phase one and phase two detoxification and support healthy liver and kidney. Probiotics help rebuild the good flora and crowd out the bad bacteria in the gut. Berber caps help kill off the bad bacteria in the gut and balance blood sugar. Biogest helps your body digest everything, proteins, fats, and carbs.
Perfect. I read that what does that say?
Glucomannan. Glucomannan can help with aid in weight loss. Glucomannan is a type of soluble fiber. You can add it in. I don't know if it's going to help or not. Again, like, it's soluble fiber. So,
okay.
You know what I mean? We add that in anyway. So I think it's marketing.
And if I'm looking at a food label, what is the ideal maximum grams of sugar per serving? Or put another way, how many grams of sugar are acceptable per serving? Obviously, ideally, it would be zero. Is it more important for the amount of sugar to be under a certain total, or is it more important for the total carbs per serving to be kept under a certain amount?
I would look at 5 grams.
Okay.
That's what I do, is kind of my absolute.
In a past Q&A, you discussed three types of healthy fats that we want to be getting in daily. My Nordic fish oil supplement only has 2 in it, but it's the first supplement I found that doesn't have a fishy aftertaste, a must for me. Can you briefly review the three types? Also, other than our supplements, is there any way of knowing, well, the daily nutrient packs, that fish oil absolutely has no aftertaste. I just need to say that. Is there any way of knowing the amount of each of the three good fats exist in the food we are eating? Any recommendations on the best alternatives to eating fish? I loathe seafood to get these healthy fats.
Okay. Number one, when someone tells me first, suspicious of which fish oil you're doing. Again, I would agree. I don't see it with the thorn stuff. But also sometimes I see that with people who have digestive issues, and if they take a good digestive enzyme like Biogest, it goes bye-bye. Number two, it's not even so much about you could make yourself crazy looking at all the different foods and how much of different things have in them. Honestly, Google and look at fatty acid composition. But even more than that, what you'd want to look at is focus on things that have the right types of fats, dump the things that have the wrong. Corn, peanuts, eggs, corn-fed beef, corn oil, vegetable oils have pro-inflammatory fats. The type of fats you want to be focusing on more, raw nuts and seeds, avocado, olive oil, coconut, fish, sorry, I had to say it, grass-fed beef, those would be the things that have the right stuff. Obviously, you're going to need to supplement krill oil, which we had a question about, would be my favorite of all, but it is fishy, so you might not be happy about that. But also, you might want to look at super EPA from Thorn as well. Now, again, I'm going to say fixed digestion, but the other thing that I would tell you is you can do fatty acid testing through Metametrics. There's a blood spot fatty acid test because it's not so much what you're eating, it's what's really happening in your body. And that gives you looks inside and will look at what you've been doing over the last couple months. Your body's a history book, and say, here's your balance of fatty acids now so that you can see how you need to shift your diet. And that's really the issue. Like how's that impacting, what's going on with your body? Because let's say that you are eating a lot of omega-3s, you might be deficient in GLA. That's why in the daily nutrient packs I put EPA, DHA, and GLA, because I looked at a lot of fatty acid testing and I saw people taking omega-3s and not GLA omega-6, and they were getting deficient because those things need the same enzyme delta-6 saturase to elongate. So I would also look at Metametrics blood spot fatty acid testing, and I would also think about fixing digestion, and I would really take an EPA, DHA, GLA supplement like the one in the daily nutrient pack or the Omega Plus that you guys just sell on the store. Okay, so we have got two more questions. We really have to get through these because I needed to leave 5 minutes ago. And
that's it. Okay, so
90 minutes.
I have a question. I know. I have a question for the Q&A. JJ has mentioned that too much healthy food can also be bad for you. And with this question in mind, I'd like to know how much is too much supplement. I'm a supplement junkie, and when I hear about a new supplement, I want to try it. I've tried lots of supplements recommended in this cleanse. Unfortunately, I had to stop them because my doctor thinks it's the cause of my elevated liver enzymes found in my annual blood test, with fatty liver being ruled out. How can I make an intelligent decision of incorporating some of the supplements that JJ recommends without going overboard and adversely affecting my health? I do want to say we're not – please, JJ, just jump in terms of, you know, supplements that we're recommending and they're adversely affecting health. If I'm changing my diet to a healthier one like the cleanse recommended, is it really even necessary to take supplements?
Okay.
Besides a good multivitamin?
Number one, every single person needs to be on a good multivitamin, mineral, antioxidant, essential fatty acid supplement. Everybody, and probably extra B vitamins too. That's number one. I highly doubt that your liver enzymes are due to your supplements. That's highly unlikely. But again, if a doctor doctors don't study nutrition, they don't study supplements, and if they're not up on it, quite often they're down on it. And what I would say about that is shame on him. But it does, it's a good thing because here's the thing. Supplements supplement a good diet. First thing you want to do is focus on getting as many things as you can from your food. That's always key. Next thing you should do is take a good multivitamin, mineral, antioxidant, essential fatty acid supplement. That's the daily nutrient pack. Everybody should be taking those. If price is an issue, take one a day. Ideally, take two a day. Things that I think beyond that, a good digestive enzyme like Plantzyme or Biogest, probiotics, and an extra B vitamin like B vitamin number 5 if you've got adrenal issues, or number 12. Then beyond that, whenever you with liver enzymes, once you've dealt with that with your doctor, things you want to look at for helping with liver enzymes, milk thistle, lipoic acid, and selenium are things that you'd want to look at there. But to really know what you need, there's a kind of testing. You can look at Metametrics' website called Organic Acid Testing. It actually looks at B vitamin status, cellular energy, neurotransmitters, digestion, antioxidant stress, and it helps you develop a program where you can get exactly what you need. I mean, that's the best. That's what I do for myself. But outside of that, again, I told you what I think the basics should be for, you know, 90, I can't really think of anyone I wouldn't put on just the basics there. So that's where I would start. Someone asked here if it's possible to substitute krill oil for fish oil. Is there any benefit? I love krill oil. Little krill are not bottom feeders. They can't accumulate heavy metals because they sit up on top of the ocean. They actually get naturally occurring antioxidants. They're rich in phospholipids, so they're well absorbed. So it's sort of like a turbocharged omega-3. So I love krill oil. It is my absolute favorite fish oil because the antioxidants, the phospholipid complex it sits in, I think it's the best. High quality grains including kamut, spelt, triticale, and farro contain gluten. I believe all those ones contain gluten. And you can always Google and go to gluten-free grains, but I think all those ones contain gluten. Can they be added to the diet occasionally for variety? I don't think we should be eating gluten at all. I'm going to take a big, bold stand and say I think gluten is an anti-health food. I think it's one of the worst things that we can possibly be doing. Even if you don't react to gluten, I think it's terrible for you because of the fact that it releases zonulin, a protein in the small intestine that loosens the tight junctions and can give you food intolerances. Gluten is not a health food. It's total BS to think that it is. We don't need whole grains. I think grains have been one of the things that have damaged our health. And so I just don't see the point in adding them to the diet. They're not that's not adding to your diet to make your diet healthier. So don't be under that misconception it is. If you're adding things for variety, add different types of nuts and seeds, different types of non-starchy vegetables, go that route, different kinds of beans. Is there any benefit to soaking almonds in water before eating? You know, any nut that you can soak, you're going to be better off. What I really love to do is soak them overnight in pure spring water with a little sea salt, low roast at 200 degrees for 8 hours. It improves digestion. So if you can do that, you'll be better off.
Great. We did it.
There you go. The marathon.
We got through the entire thing. JJ, thank you. You guys, thank you, everybody, for all your questions. It's such a thoughtful community we have at Peer Trainer. Really, really educated. So I know that it helps a lot of other people when you send in questions. JJ, thanks again, and thanks, everybody. And we will post this also as an MP3 and hope you have a great day.
All righty. Bye, honey.
Bye.